So let's open in prayer real quick. Father, thank you, Lord, for the time together here. We just know that your word is going to speak to us as it does every Sunday. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, to carry your word in our hearts that we would not sin against you, Lord. Thank you for the power of it as it meets us where we are. It edifies us, Lord. It corrects us. It establishes us, Lord, and it perfects us. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and what this means to all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, you know, just looking back over, you know, the relationship with Clark and Lewis and I mean, I've known Clark for 20 years, and we've walked together through some amazing things. We've been at bedsides of people passing into eternity. We've sang Amazing Grace, not very well, right? You know, out of tune and horribly, but the Lord was there, and we saw people pass into glory, and we've been by bedsides and all manner of things that the Lord's seen fit to use us in. And same thing for Lewis. When he came in, it was, you know, I was like the nagging little brother. He came in and here I am, you know, nagging at him, and we tease each other back and forth. But, you know, these are the things that different walks, you know, of life, different, entirely different people, the Lord can use you guys standing shoulder to shoulder, whether it's a brother, a sister, a colleague, a friend, a relative. You know, he uses you in such amazing manners. I look back over my relationship with those two guys, and we talk multiple times during the week, and we're always challenged. All of us are challenged with stuff, but having those godly friendships to check each other and balance each other and to be a part of each other's lives, I mean, this is what it's all about. This is the walk. This is truly what it means to be a Christian and to serve the Lord in many capacities. So I just thank you guys again for who you are and what you mean to me. So let's open our Bibles to James chapter 1. I'm just going to reflect for a second on, you know, just some things that Clark said a few weeks ago. And here's the great thing about sitting, you know, under the Word is you're always learning something. You know, I've read through James multiple times. I've read through Romans multiple times. I've read the Bible like you guys have. But every single time, it always seems to be that message delivers something in us. It gets us thinking, or it triggers something, and the Holy Spirit starts edifying us on things. Clark mentioned a few weeks ago that, you know, we're to examine ourselves, and this was in relation to the supper. You know, we're to always examine ourselves in the light of, you know, am I walking in a righteous manner? Do I have unconfessed sin? Am I in a habit of sin? You know, that's very important to do that, you know, on a daily and minute-by-minute basis. And then Lewis mentioned also, too, in his sermon last week that, you know, God has a way of moving us from one place in our life to another. And when we're struggling with things or we're stumbling with things, he has a way of getting us from A to B. But it's not taking us from A to B. We don't get from A to B, and we don't go through a process, right? He doesn't, like Lewis said, zap us, you know, with patience or love or kindness. And we've got to learn that process. Part of that process is perseverance, you know, and perseverance comes with, fortunately, tribulation. I mean, does anybody really persevere through the good times in life? I'm persevering through, this is great. It's not really how perseverance works. It's usually following in tribulation, and usually find ourselves in tribulation. So reading James chapter 1, verse 2, the word says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all liberally and without reproach. It will be given to him, but let him ask in faith, without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." So, you know, does anybody, I mean, we all get to that place where we're like, you know, what is this? You know, Lord, how do I find joy in this? I mean, this isn't really, nobody likes it. You know, I don't like being squeezed. You don't like being squeezed. You know, you're in a boiling pot of water and you're saying to yourself, I don't really sure how this is going to turn out for the good. But the Bible tells us all things work for good for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. I mean, this is what the whole entire book of Job is about. I mean, sometimes, you know, Clark says, you know, in his sermon, and the word says we're to examine ourselves. But what do we do in those situations where we've examined ourselves and we're walking in a righteous manner and we don't have that unconfessed sin, or we don't have that sin that is prevalent in our life, and for some reason now we're in this tribulation? What do we do then? I mean, that's the same side, that the other side of that same fence, right? We're examining ourselves, but then we fall into a place due to no fault of our own where now we're getting squeezed and we're like, you know, Lord, what's going on here? You know, did I deserve this? You're searching, you're asking, and you get silence. The silence is the tough part, because that's where we grow, okay? That's where we're searching, we're contending with the word, we're studying, we're seeking, we're praying to the Lord. And that's where faith meets us, and that's where we grow. Flip over to Romans chapter 5. Clark covered this eloquently in his sermons, but one of the things that we're going to touch on is, you know, where we are, where we were in Romans, and obviously where we were in 1 John with Pastor Lewis. And this is kind of a tie together of all these things. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Is there anything in life worth living without hope? You ever talk to somebody who's completely hopeless in life? The broken heart is impossible for man to mend. Only God can do that work for the brokenhearted. Matthew 6 says and encourages us that we lay up our treasures in heaven. For where our treasure is, there your heart will be also. What I'm getting at is that God's recipe for this is to put us into tribulations. He does everything for a purpose. We're to persevere in his name, reaching not only for our perseverance, our benefit. And I hear this a lot. It's like, I just want to get through this. You know, I want to be better this, better that. That's a byproduct of it. But the real thing is glory to God, giving God the glory in the perseverance. We're not complaining. The Bible says not to complain for anything. And that includes the tribulations. We're to be thankful. That's tough sometimes. We can't do that without a supernatural experience. We can't do that without God's glory, without his grace, without his Spirit in our lives. Kevin, if you would, with the next slide. There's a degree of perseverance, and this is my wife and I's daily routine to put my daughter to bed. This is one page of what we decided to start putting down on paper when we went away for a weekend. This is a special needs child. This is what it takes after 20 years of persevering to give that child a normal life. My wife and I, when she was born, we knew we would have our hands full with this, and it's much like what everybody else here deals with. Ours is a special need child. Yours may be, you know, a difficult person at work. It may be, you know, a family member that you can't seem to get along with. It could be somebody in traffic or the supermarket line. The perseverance, the tribulation could be slight. It could be, you know, a minute. It could be a day. It could be a week. It could be years. But 20 years of this, because we believe that God has a glorious outcome for her life. We want her to have, we want to show her the love of Christ. We want Christ's character to be evident in us as we nurture her and bring her along. And then we want to give her hope, because we don't know what she understands. We don't know what she doesn't understand. But we want to give her hope. Not only do we see hope in her, but the Lord has a way of giving us that hope too. We see her do things and we're celebrating it. You know, maybe normal kids would do that a long time ago, but this is our celebration. And that's a lot of what you guys would be going through with somebody. You get the celebration. You get You see the Lord work in the perseverance. You see the character of God revealed in how you minister to people and how you're a part of their lives, you know, reflecting the Lord's light and glory into their life, which gives them hope. And we see how this all works. I mean, this is scripture applied to a life, all our lives, every day, every minute, every second. We can do nothing without the Lord that's of any enduring value. I mean, we can do wrong things, and we can say wrong things and do wrong things, but the perseverance that God is using, he demonstrates to us. And it's designed in a ways, you know, at least in my life with this, in my daughter, and probably in your life too, that it kind of breaks us of some things. It breaks us maybe of our self-will, or it breaks us of I can handle this. And as long as we have that door, that escape route, that dirt road, or the escape plan in a tribulation or a trial, the Lord's not going to hear that. He's not going to use that. He's going to let you continue there until we're at the end of ourselves and we have no remedies, when he's going to come and bring light into the situation. The broken man or woman of God is the most useful to him, because we understand the worth of the breaking, right? It's in that that we see him move. We see his faithfulness. We see his loving kindness towards us. We see the things. We see his character. And then we see the perseverance that he's used to come get us wherever we are, or wherever we keep trying to run from him. And then when we see that occur, we see the hope that he brings into our lives. And make no mistake, it's a supernatural experience. I mean, when he sets out to do something, he does it. He doesn't leave us by the side of the road. And we can't manufacture this thing. We can't build up enthusiasm, you know, I'm going to change this, I'm going to change that. Without him, it's not going to work. So, you know, one of the things that I look back on is that, you know, in all the different instances of the Lord in my life, and I'm sure in your life, I just want to reflect on the fact that sometimes you're not going to get thank yous. You're not going to get the mountaintop experience. You know, there's not going to be people, you know, coming up to you and saying thank you for this, thank you for that. You know, a lot of ministry, a lot of service is thankfulness. But it doesn't always come. You know, you serve sometimes in the shade and it's thanklessness. But we're not doing it for us. We're not doing it for our edification. We're doing it to glorify God. That's what the people see. They don't see, you know, a Lewis Harrell up here, or a Clark Loffer, or a George Perennis, or, you know, any other pastors or preachers. What they're seeing and hearing is the word of God. The power comes from the word. The power is the word. The power is Christ. I want to reflect on a situation in my life that happened, and this was about a 56-year experience, aside from the 20-year experience. But my uncle, who was, he lived to be 93, and he was a very contentious man. We had a relationship that was hot and cold. He would push me out of his life for the reasons, his daughter, he was divorced young. He lived with his mother, my Yaya, grandmother, for all of his life, and supported her and took care of her. The last instance, he was out of my life for 6, 8, almost 10 years over what he perceived was injustice in our relationship. And okay, you know, we hadn't had the best relationship till then. About 6, 7 years ago, he called up and he said, he called my wife, because he didn't want to talk to me right away. But he said to my wife, he said, "Hey, you know, I had a dream about George's dad," which was his brother. "He came to me in a dream." My dad's been dead for 40 years. He said, "You know, you need to call George. You need to make amends with George." So, you know, we amended. I really... Somehow the Lord, in an instant, when I knew he had called, softened my heart. All the 56 years of our bad relationship was suddenly, the Lord took it away. And what he gave me in that instant was, you need to be close to this man, minister to this man, show him my love. So fast forward a few years, you know, go to his house, plow his driveway out from snow, get some groceries here and there, take him to doctor's appointments. I don't get thank yous, okay? But it's not him that I'm serving. My drive home was more or less, thank you, Lord, for that. Not sure, you know, kind of where's that going, but, you know. This went on for a number of years. And then he got very sick. He got very infirm. Okay, and then he ends up in a care facility. You get a call from the care facility. Listen, your uncle's gone down pretty quick. You better get down here. Okay, so, okay, well, you know, I really wanted to speak the word to him, and I was, but I didn't know it. Okay, the actions that were going on, the Lord was speaking to his heart. Softened him to the point where he called me. I drive down. The unwilling servant. I'm calling Lewis. I'm like, hey, Lewis, you want to go with me? You know, I don't really think this guy's going to listen to me. I wanted to give him the gospel. Well, Lewis was busy, and Clark was on travel. I called Clark. Nobody was available to go. Okay, I felt like Jonah. I'm looking for, you know, you want me to go to Nineveh? This guy, he's not going to hear from me. Right? And if he does hear from me, oh, George, get out of here. You know, there's gospel stuff. You know, it's crazy. And then he's going to die, and I'm going to feel guilty, and I'm going to be terrible for the rest of my life. So I'm driving down to the facility. I'm having a discussion with the Lord, and he's not saying much. I get to the care facility. I peek my head, and I'm like, well, maybe there's a nurse that can go in there with me and just kind of back me up. Nobody's around. It's like the Grinch stole Christmas. There's nobody there. I go to the room, and I open the door, and the smell, it's something you never forget. But I walk in, and he's pretty far gone. He's got the rattle, and he's just laying there. So I sat down, and I said, Lord, it's a wasted trip down here. I'm like, what am I going to do? So I start reading the scripture. I start reading Bible. I'm reading passages to him. He turns and looks at me. You know, my heart leapt, and I was like, whoa. He was so lucid and clear. He goes, oh, George, you know, what are you doing here? I said, well, I came down to see you. They told me you weren't feeling real well, and things are getting pretty dire. He says, oh. He goes, I hate for you to see me like this. His eyes were crystal clear, his voice crystal clear. I want you to see me like this. And we had some discussion on that. And, you know, we reminisced about some times that we had together. And he says, I said, well, where's this going to end for you? He says, well, I guess I'm going to die and that's it. I said, the Lord put this, you know, I didn't want to touch him where, you know, I knew he would react. But the Lord gave me this courage. And I said, that is not it. That is not it. Death is not it. This doesn't end with a slow ride in the hearse. There's so much more for you than what you think you've got right now. And he says, well, what is that? And I said, don't you want to go to see your Lord, Christos? The Greek Orthodox, they believe that Christos Anesti, Christ is risen, he lives. He understood that. And I said, don't you want to go be with your Yaya? My grandmother means Yaya, means grandmother in Greek. Love Christos. She taught me how to pray. She taught me the Lord's Prayer. Absolutely love it. Wouldn't you want to go see the Lord and be with your mother? Well, yeah, I do. He accepted Christ. He prayed the Lord's Prayer, salvation prayer. I led him through that. The Lord gave me the words to speak to meet him in that instant. And he prayed that prayer. And then he says, you know, I'm tired. I got to. Never spoke another word. In that 3 minutes of his life, he had more hope and peace than he did in 93 years of life. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord brings that type of thing. He showed right there perseverance. He pursued that man for 93 years. And in those facts, in that situation, in my reluctance to go down there, he showed me his perseverance. This is how you do it, boy. Right? This is my character. I don't give up. I don't rest. My character, the building of my faith in that moment then gave me hope. Like, nobody is beyond his grasp. Nobody is beyond his use. Even the reluctant messenger, right? No matter how fearful we are in an instant, go into the darkness. Go into the fight. You're not fighting it. You're carrying Christ. You're carrying the Lord with you. The power of the scriptures, the power, the resurrection power is with you. You guys know what kind of gift that we have here? In that moment, I said, wow, you know, who am I to complain about 20 years of dealing with a wonderful child when you've been pursuing him for 93 and some of us our entire lives without faltering, without giving up, without complaining? How many times I kick sand in the Lord's face? I don't want to do this. You know, I'm like Jonah. I'm like, I don't want to go. But he still continues to use us. He still continues to make beauty out of the ashes. All things work for good for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. You see how all this weaves together. Romans, James, all of it's beautiful. He comes back to the lesson many times till we get it. That was, like we say, a growth thing for me. But when I look at that, you know, look at that situation and all the things over all the decades that he brought to peace. That man died peaceful. He died with a hope he never had. 93 years of arguing with that guy and, you know, watching what he did to people's lives and casting people out. The Lord still loved him enough. Isn't that amazing? It often reminds me of, you know, I reflect on, you know, Jeremiah 29:11, where it says, and I hold on to this, for I know the plans I have for you, to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. His future and his hope. Imagine laying there hopeless 1 minute and then having all that come to bear in your life. And then the same thing for me. Like, I'm scratching my head. I'm like, well, you know, I don't do well with, I don't know anybody that really does well in hospital environments and, you know, bedside things, but that's where the Lord seems to be putting me. I watched my father die an awful death at 17 in the ICU, and I was by the bed, and it didn't end well for us. And I always had this fear that I was going to go in there and I was going to all of a sudden say something that's going to cause him to just die in front of me again, you know. And but the Lord, see, the fear is not of the Lord. We go in confident that he's with us, and that fear goes away. And he uses us to be that vessel, whether we're willing or not. And like I said, the broken person restored is of the utmost value to the Lord, because we know the amount, the value of that worth. So one of the things, I love to read some of the things written by Oswald Chambers. He says that through perseverance, others see deliverance. Through character, others see Jesus. Through hope, we have faith that reconciles us to God. Exactly what we just read. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of the world doesn't have peace. Look around us. We're constantly hearing about wars and fights and, you know, racial divides and all the things that are ramping up. There's no peace here. And I'll venture to say that there's very little hope in people of ever getting better. How many people do you talk to that are saying, well, you know, an election may fix this? And then you get the contrary to, like, election's never going to fix this. You know, the Lord has to fix this. God is the hope to fix all this. We're the little shining lights that's got to be in the darkness. It's an amazing thing about darkness, right? If we were to turn all the lights off in this room and I would put one little light up here, everybody would see it, right? This is what the Lord wants for us. He wants us to persevere. He wants to show his character through you into the darkness. He wants that character to reveal the hope, the joy, and the joy and the love that these people need in their lives. God, Oswald Chambers goes on to say, God will give us blessings we ask if we will not go any farther without them. That's pretty deep. His silence is the sign he is bringing you into a marvelous understanding of himself. That is persevering when we don't have an answer. Because what, right? That's the definition of faith. We persevere when we can't see the outcome. We persevere when we don't really understand the facts. We may never really understand all that's going on in this wonderful book until we get to the other side. But the wonderful thing about it is it's a roadmap and it's all consistent. I had a great conversation with somebody recently. They were talking about all the inconsistencies in the Bible. Did you read it? Seems pretty consistent to me. It's the love of Christ. It's the salvation that's available to us all. It wasn't an inexpensive gift. It was very expensive, but it's free. But they, once again, it's the hopeless manner that this world is walking in. And one of the things that we have to be aware of, and this is a great analogy, is that, as I said, this world is a boiling pot. I mean, the heat's turned up around us, all over the place. We have contentiousness on one side, anger on the other side. What happens in the world to the Christian? Okay, it's a good analogy. If you have this boiling pot of water, and this was written by a wonderful brother, Damon West. If you ever heard of The Coffee Bean, it's a great book. But if you take a vegetable like a carrot and you put it into boiling water, after a few minutes, what happens? It gets soft and mushy, right? If you take a hard-boiled egg and you put it into that same boiling pot of water, which represents the world, what happens? Well, it gets hard, okay? And the heart gets hard, like the inside of a hard-boiled egg. It's no longer soft and pliable. We can have that happen to us, even as Christians. And think about the outside world who doesn't have Christ speaking to them in moment by moment, how hard their hearts become. You know, I just want to be set in my ways. I don't care about this. I don't care about that. I don't care about the left or the right. I'm just going to sit here and be hard. And I'll tell you, that is something of what I was dealing with my uncle. That was a hard heart who walked into that facility. But in the instant, the Lord said, you're going to be a coffee bean. What happens when you take a coffee bean and you put it into the boiling water? It changes everything around it, right? That water becomes coffee. Now, whether you like coffee or not, it changed the world around it. That's what we have inside of us. We have the Lord inside of us. Where we go, he goes. When we go into a situation that's hot, that's contentious, just remember, he's there. And he'll use you like he does a coffee bean. God created a coffee bean. He created an egg. He created a carrot, different purposes. But the analogy is the same. The world needs coffee beans. It needs people that are willing to let the Lord use them to go into the boiling pot of water, the difficult situations, and be a light. He's going to transform. It's not up to us. He transforms the environment in what he uses us for. It's funny because some people ask me, they're like, you know, when you go into a room, you walk into a room, and if you start talking to another brother or sister, you kind of know right away. But when you walk into a room and you start talking to somebody, there's two choices, right? You can affect them or you can infect them. We can deliver the message without words, the gospel, sometimes using words, or we can beat them over the head with it. You know, fire and brimstone, this, that. That's infecting people. That's not going to work. That has never worked. The Lord's going to find a way to affect people in your life by using you, dropping you into the boiling water. Fortunately, guys, that's the walk of a Christian. We find ourselves in hot water all the time. But it's not for our benefit. Sometimes it is. And to a degree it is. But he's using us to reach other people's lives. And that's the coffee bean. But what I want to do is bring this all to a head, so to speak, and flip over to 1 Peter chapter 3. This is titled Called to a Blessing, portion of this chapter. We're all called to a blessing. sometimes in the situation, instance my uncle or whoever you're dealing with or whatever you're dealing with, sometimes when you walk into the difficult situation, it may be difficult, it may be challenging, but you're walking into a blessing. God says, finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling or reviling. But on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Do not be afraid of their threats nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. With meekness and fear, having a good conscience, and when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than to do evil. Funny how that all kind of makes sense together, doesn't it? I think he meant it that way. I think he meant us to, and I'm probably not telling you guys anything you know, but I'm encouraging you. I'm encouraging you that sometimes the fight is long. Sometimes the valleys are dark. Sometimes we don't understand our next step in front of us. But it's always worth it because God will use it in some way, some shape, or some form to bring glory on itself. And that's where we have to understand the difference. Flip over to 1 Peter 5. And the difference is, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Obey the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. The last part. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. How clear is that for us? How instructive is that for us in the perseverance, building the character of Christ, and giving hope to others? It's not about us. It's about him. It's about bringing glory to him. The end result is a wonderful relationship with him. Daily, minute by minute, and weekly. And he's going to call you to different places. Last story I'm going to share with you is, and this is how things work. This is how he brings you along, and he finds ways to use your life as long as you're a willing servant. Sometimes you're an unwilling servant, but that doesn't matter. He can still use you. Anybody that says they have the ability to do this, they don't. This is Clark and Lewis every week doing a supernatural work because they rely on the Lord to guide them, to deliver the message to hearts that are hurting, that are closed off, that are too soft, everything hurts, and then nothing hurts. This is what it means to be not only saved by the Lord, okay, and have him the Lord of your life, but also to be a disciple, to truly have a relationship with him and step by step allow him to change your life and use you where you are to reach the people that he wants to reach. It could take 93 years. It could take longer. My sister-in-law lost her mother recently, and her and I have known each other since we were young teenagers. She married my brother. Back in the day before I knew the Lord and before she knew the Lord, we had some pretty spicy conversations and disagreements. But one of the things that she saw in my family's life, my wife's life, and my life was God's presence. And this has gone on for almost 40 years now. Her mother passed away. She called me. She said, "George, you know, we have a pastor. We have, you know, a lot of people in the faith in our family, but we want you to do the funeral service." I don't even know her. I don't know her mother. I didn't know her mother. I knew her a few times. I met her a few times. So I said, "Absolutely, Carol, you know, I'll be happy to do the service for you." And when I hung up the phone, nobody hangs up the phone. Hang up the phone. I panicked. I was like, "Lord, what am I gonna say? And what am I gonna do? I wanna honor this lady's life. She loved the Lord. But I don't know her. I mean, I've got to do a whole service speaking about somebody that I don't know." And I started working on it. It was a couple weeks. They gave me a couple weeks. So I prayed and I started writing stuff and I tear it up and throw it away. And I started writing stuff and I tear it up and throw it away. And finally, the Lord started speaking to me about, you know, what it just meant to be a disciple of His. And I knew this lady and her sisters loved Scripture and they lived for the Lord. And I did the service. And we went down to Virginia, my wife and I, and we selected the music and we put the service together, Carol and I. It was a wonderful service. There were tears, there was laughter, there was joy, there was high fives. There was the things in the celebration of a life well lived. The wonderful thing about a life well lived is when you get old and your life's over, you can look back on it and enjoy it again because it's a life well lived in Lord's service. And after the service, the Lord gave me the words to speak. The service went on for some time. And afterwards, I went to the back of the sanctuary. And as they brought her out the family came out, shaking hands, patting on the back, the usual. But what was said afterwards was perfect. It captured her in every respect. It celebrated the joys and the victories in her life. It made us cry over the tragedies in her life. I didn't write that. That's how God uses the willing servant. We brought honor to her life. The Lord did it. He wrote the sermon. He wrote the tribute to her life. There's no way I could have done it on my own. But I was thankful once again that the reluctant servant went and he used me in a capacity to not only bring honor to her life, but also to His because of what she stood for, and that's the Lord, and how much she loved Him and how much He loved them. And not only that, but His character was all over that service. And it gave hope to the people that I'm sure that were there that didn't know the Lord, that left and said, "Wow, that was amazing. There was something about that woman's life that I want to be a part of." And it gave me hope because I said, maybe I said too much. Bye, guys. But the things that I said, I didn't even remember. I had to go back and look at. And that's how the Lord does this. Oftentimes, I'm sure you'll hear Pastor Clark or Pastor Lewis say that, you know, as we go through the Word, the Lord speaks through us. And that's very often. And it's going to be that way in life, too, as you minister and testify to people. I'm not a teacher up here today. I'm a witness. Okay, I'm not teaching anything you guys don't know, but I'm just witnessing to you and telling you that the Lord's with us all. Amen? Amen. So if the worship team wants to come forward. I'll leave you with this last little tidbit. A pastor friend of mine and I were talking the other day, and he's a younger guy, but you know, he's been a pastor for a good while. And he says to me, he goes, "Hey, George, I got to share this thing with you." And I said, "Okay, well, this is going to be good." And he says, "I was ministering to this older lady who was passing away on her, you know, on her deathbed. It was her last minutes in life. And he says, you know, he's asking her, you know, what do you want your service to be? What do you want me to talk about in your service? She says, well, as you know, Pastor, I love to eat. And he says, okay, you know, what about it? And she says, well, I want you to bury me with a fork. I can't make this up. He says, okay, you know, expecting. And she says, well, let me tell you, Pastor. She says, you know, I love to eat, and I look at life as the meal. Okay, we all have a meal before us. We eat it in different speeds and different degrees. We love it. Sometimes we hate it. But I love dessert. I love dessert. That's the favorite part for me. And you know what? I've eaten my meal. And I'm taking my fork with me to eat the dessert in heaven. Because the best is yet to come, right? So that's what I'm going to leave you with. The fork. So with these, did you guys know this? The communion cups. If you push down on this, push down on the lip, and then pull it up, it peels right up. Did everybody know that?
I did.
Pastor Lewis told me that. I mean, you think you know a guy, and he's hiding this. You taught him?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you taught him. Okay, well, let's examine our hearts here and come before the Lord.